morning. The reading today relates to the God of all comfort, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 11. As I was reading this thing several times in the last few days, I got to thinking, well, the world might think comfort is a nice good night's sleep. That's comfort. Or comforting someone who is ill or sick, or even people that, I don't know too many of them, Southern comfort might be what they think is comfort. Well, that's not it. That's not what God had in mind, and that's not what he did to me back this last October. As some of you or most of you know, my 14-year-old granddaughter died October 1st of last year. And I was just distraught, angry, because I prayed all during the 6 weeks she was in the hospital, and I didn't get the answer I wanted. His answer was, well, I'm taking her home, David. Every time I see her pictures, I still want to cry even to this day. But that's the kind of comfort we're talking about in this section of the Corinthians. Praise be to the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patience, endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, and the hardships we suffered in the provinces of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even to life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. We have delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayer of many.
Long time ago, we had a tradition that we started, which was begun by the one of the ways that they celebrate moving to adulthood or moving to independence, a degree of independence or self-acceptance of responsibility. And that was calling, in Africa, they would call the children up and out from and away from mom and dad. And as they called them up and away from, they weren't suggesting that mom and dad were not special, important, or anything else, but that calling them up and calling them out was a response that communicated a sensitivity that I need to stand on my own, on my faith. It's got to be mine. It can't just be yours, mom and dad. And so in that tradition, we always call our confirmands up. And so Bethany Buckmeyer, I am calling you up today. If you're ready to come up and do this, they're all yours. Come on up. I just want to make sure the mic's where you need it. There you go.
Before time, as you and I understand it, before creation of the earth, before light and darkness, land and sea, trees and animals, God had a plan for every boy and girl. That plan in God's heart included one little girl that wouldn't be born for thousands of years. In fact, not until the year 2000. When everyone else was talking about Y2K and preparing for global chaos and food and water shortages, God was preparing to send a little girl to the Buckfire family. That little girl was me. I was born on January 10th, 2000, and on that same day, I was baptized by my dad, and right then and there, the Holy Spirit began working in my life. To help you understand me a little better, there are 5 kids in my family, and I'm the 4th born. I've also been homeschooled my entire life. Ever since I was 3 years old, I have been part of Awana Ministries, which has a huge impact on my life. Awana is an international ministry for kids ages 2 through high school, which meets in a local church to help kids to learn about following Jesus and become spiritually strong. We do this through large group, Bible teaching, memorized verses, doing crafts, playing games, and other fun activities. After I graduated from regular program in sixth grade, I decided to become a WANA leader to help with preschool group called Cubbies. I enjoy doing puppet for lesson time, helping them learn verses, and leading them in games and crafts. I've also personally been working through their middle school program, learning more about my faith and memorizing verses. Another ministry that I have been doing for 2 years that has impacted my spiritual life is a group called Bright Lights. Bright stands for being radiant in godliness, holiness, and testimony. It's a ministry just for young women that encourages to live our lives completely for God. Not only do we get practical teaching, we sing hymns, memorize verses together, and have fun making crafts for nursing homes. We also visit nursing homes a couple times a year to share our gifts, sing for them, provide special tea time, or play games with them. I enjoy those times. God has also been teaching me through different service opportunities. This past year, I participated in an organization called The Gathering to help serve meals in Milwaukee to the homeless and poor. I've also got to spend the day with Feed My Starving Children Ministry, which the ministry helping for food to send overseas. God has also allowed me to join my family on 2 mission trips, one to Louisiana and one to Colorado this past March. The Holy Spirit has been working in my life through these opportunities and through hearing His and learning His word at home and here at church. Now, I believe I'm ready to take the next step to participate in communion and become a member of the family of Lamb of God Lutheran Church. I believe in the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I know that I'm a sinner and believe that Jesus died on the cross and paid the penalty for my sin. I believe He rose again, setting me free from power of sin, death, and the devil, and one day that I will live with Him in heaven forever. Taking communion will help make my faith stronger with Christ our Lord God. My verse is Psalms 9, verse 10. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. This reminds me that He will not leave or forget me, now or in the future. He knew me and had a plan for me before creation. I hope this is a reminder to you too, that you can go place your trust in Him, and that when you're going through a hard time, all you need to do is seek Him, and He will never leave or forsake you. Thank you.
You can stay. I'm going to invite my elders to come down because we have just Bethany this year. Come on down. This poor sweetie had to be questioned all alone, and she managed to survive this horde of individuals. And we're going to move this out of the way for a moment, though. All right. And although we've done this a little bit before, I got to grab the 2 things behind you. You heard Bethany's testimony about desiring to participate in both communion and fellowship here at Lamb of God. And I thought how neat that they picked that song about before all time. And we didn't even connect that. You know, that was kind of a Holy Spirit little gift for her. And the last little thoughts that she shared about God being with her is going to be in my sermon, which, again, I didn't think about at the time, but hopefully it'll tie together for her all in all those kinds of ways. So, Bethany, in front of family, friends, mom, and dad, we've heard your confession, and we accept it as true. And so is it within your heart to indeed become a full-time member of Lamb of God to join in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, to be a participant with all of its challenges, opportunities, and privileges? And we would love to have you say yes, but we want you to say yes by the grace of God.
Yes, by the grace of God.
And do you understand both the responsibilities of both receiving guidance and help and encouragement and blessing from us, but also giving it to us when the Spirit moves in your heart to straighten us people out if necessary, including me? And you understand that in that there's like a family, there's give and take, where sometimes you need to listen and sometimes you need to give back. And so standing before all of us here, we want to know and have you listen now. Will you receive Bethany as a special child of God, belonging to this family of God, with all of the rights, privileges, and opportunities, but particularly the opportunity and responsibility for us to take good care of her, for us to nurture her, to build her faith, and continue to bring her and grow her into the woman God desires her to continue to become. If that's your continued heart, will you receive Bethany into this fellowship with all of those thoughts and hearts that you probably remember speaking when she was baptized here a few years ago? If that's your heart as Lamb of God, say yes with the help of God. And Bethany, I'm going to anoint you with oil. Remember, I did this a couple of times in your life. I set the cross of Christ upon your forehead to mark you off as a God's chosen, to remind you every day that you are a fragrant aroma to the nose of God. You are a treasure. You are a fine bride of Christ. And because of the Holy Spirit and the work of Jesus and the shed blood that was paid for on the cross, you have been made his child from this day forward. And so we pray that you would live in that. I want you to turn your hands up for me. And I put a mark upon the center of each hand to remind you that these hands and the life that you have been purchased by God and that you belong to him. And so I bless you to that end. Just stay there a moment. I'm going to read you your verse. Those who know your name will trust in you, O Lord. Lord, you have never forsaken those who seek you. I'm going to give you another word. And I'm going to ask you now, you can join around and pray for her, with her. Bethany, may your confidence always be in the Lord. And may you be a bold and strong and courageous woman for the Lord Jesus all the days of your life. May what God has begun, this good work in you, may he bring it to all completion, and may you be set free with great joy to walk in confidence in him always. One of the brothers has something to pray over. Please go ahead.
Lord God, I pray over Bethany, the spirit of the fear of the Lord that would be upon her, Lord God, the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. I pray, Lord, a peace and a spirit of humbleness, and Lord, just fall upon her, Lord, and anoint her. We thank you, Lord, for the gift that Bethany is to her parents, the gift that she is now to this congregation. We ask, Lord, that you raise Bethany up to be the young woman of God that you have called her to be, and that you would go with her this day and every day forward.
Bethany, the picture that I have received is just that of being pulled out into a harbor, being pulled along by other people, but then that engine starting up, Lord, that fire burning within you, that would now take your journey to where you need to go. And so, Lord, I pray for that fire. I pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit to be upon Bethany, that she would hear your voice, Lord, that she would respond in obedience to what you put on her heart, and that she would be bold to go where you want to take her, Lord Jesus.
Father, I pray that you would continue to strengthen Bethany's faith in you and deepen her wisdom and her discernment. I pray that you would give her the boldness and the courage to speak out the words that you give her, and most of all, that she would reflect your heart and your love to others.
Lord, I ask that you protect her from the evil one, Lord, where there is attacks that come, Lord. I pray that you find a way, Lord, to strengthen her, Lord. I pray for courage against those attacks. And I pray that you bind Satan in her life. I pray that you bring her continued good health, Lord. I pray that you give her success in the things that she does, Lord.
Lord Jesus, we stand together as the fellowship and this precious child that you have loved. We pray continued anointing over mom and dad and the rest of the family. We pray continued strengthening in Bethany's heart. May she go in the power of your Holy Spirit, and may this simply be a new step forward into all that you have for her. We thank you for her and pray your blessing on her. In your name, Jesus. And God's people said, amen. Well done. You get to sit down. Oh, wait. You get this, sweetie. Wait. Get to hang that on the thing. And you get that. Okay. Hang it over there. Oh, you don't get to sit down. That's right. It's children's sermon. Come on down, kids. Yeah, all you big kids. Yes. She goes, you're going to use me in the children's sermon, aren't you? Oh, we got a lot of kids missing today. Come on down. That's good. Good. That's it. Just sit down. You can sit right here so you can see Bethany here. Good. You can sit down. That's good. Good morning. I'm glad you guys came. You know her? You guys know her, huh? Is she a sweetie? You like her? Good. We like her, too. You heard her give her testimony today. In other words, what you heard were some of the places that God has been taking her in her life. Did you hear that she gave testimony about being baptized and how God's Spirit began to work in her even as her dad did that over her? And did you hear all the things that God has been taking her to? She even went on some mission trips with her mom and dad. And those are all things that have helped her grow up and grow stronger. Now, one of the things, her life's been perfect. She's never cried. She never disobeys her mom and dad. She is the only perfect child in her family. And she's always been happy. She's never gotten sick. And did I get that wrong? Yeah, she's laughing at me. Yeah, have you been the perfect child? Or what will mom say? Never mind. I'm teasing you. You're a pastor. Here's what I want you to know, that she gave testimony today that I hope encouraged you. But you know, she also has testimony about how God washed over her when she was sick on the last
mission trip.
I said, well, don't you want to share about the mission trip? She said, well, I spent most of it in the basement of the church. I was in the basement room, just sick as a dog. She caught whatever that was being passed around over there. But that's part of her testimony, too. And here's the good news. In the bad times or the good times, the Lord Jesus has still hung on to her, hasn't he? He won't let go of her because that's how precious she is. And she gave you a testimony. And so if you want to ask her for more, she'll be able to give you more testimony. And that's what you guys are learning. You're learning that God won't let go of you. That's how precious you are to him. He loves you very, very much. Can you remember that? Good. You get a treat today. Is that all right? It would only be fair, right? Yeah. And should I just give it all to you today? Do you want me to share it with the kids? Or got two things, I think, in here. So you can grab two of them if you want, honey, because you're the confirmand today. Yeah. Here you go. Come on in. Grab something. All you all, come on up. Take one for your brother. That's good. Take one for mom, too. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you can eat shit, too. I think we got enough for two. Yeah, I know. Just handfuls. I know. It's better than... There we go. She got two. Here, grab the second one. Good. No, that's three. No, just two. No, just two. There we go. This is a powerful little text here in Corinthians. And I love it for that reason. Each time I see it, go through it, understand it, it ministers to my heart differently and communicates with me. I wish life was not what it was sometimes. The unpredictability of life is wearisome to us sometimes. Children don't always grow up the way we want them to grow up. Sometimes we carry a burden so heavy for them you can't see it. It's not physical in the sense that you can't see the pain or the sadness or the grieving I have for a lost son or daughter or a son or a daughter or a child that just you never know which way they're going or whatever it is, but those burdens are significant, and we carry them, and they're heavy. Dave shared one of his burdens with you, the fact that his precious 14-year-old granddaughter died. And for all of you hitting that age or around that age or past that age, you understand the powerful ministry and that hollow spot that that precious child, having been taken home to be with the Lord, now leaves in Grandpa's heart. But he gave testimony that the Lord continued to work. And so one of the challenges as we walk into this text, we have to understand that God has not promised us an ability to overcome in the sense of just surpass, in the sense of missing out on all the bad stuff. The reality of my life and your life is as unpredictable as the weather in Wisconsin is. I think we're getting snow tonight. You know, we had flowers this morning. You know, that's the reality. And God doesn't assure me that there will be this situation where I don't have to anticipate something unpredicted, that I won't have to live through something outside my control, because inevitably, the moment you think you get your life under control, something else seems to go. It's the kind of the standard joke, you know, this thing broke down in the car, and then this thing happened to the garage door, and this thing happened to the water heater. I wonder what's going to happen tomorrow, okay? And you begin to understand that sensitivity to those unpredictabilities and unpredictable things. Now, the miracle in this situation that I want you to grab hold of and pick up on, we're looking at the wrong chapter, excuse me, 1 Corinthians. The miracle that I want you to pick up on is that God who consoles, comforts, comes alongside, paraclete is the Greek word. He walks right through it with you. Remember the three men in the fiery furnace? They didn't go into the fiery furnace alone. They went in it with the angel of the Lord. If you can keep that in mind in whatever your particular furnace situation is, God did not remove them from the furnace. God did not take the furnace away. God preserved them through the process of the furnace so that the testimony that they would have is that God preserved me through the persecution, through being thrown into the furnace, and I wish all of us could be able to say, and we didn't get burned. But the truth is, if you start to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, the not getting burned isn't just physical, it's that burning that takes place in us emotionally and everything else along the way. And so it says this, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, two characteristics that you have to remember of God. When you're praying to God and you're in the middle of your painful moment, you sometimes forget that this is the God of compassion. This is the God of all walking through the situations with you. God has not turned his back on you. God has not silenced his ears to you. Simply because God says no to a request that I make or you make doesn't mean that he's lost his heart or he has stopped caring. Or because we see something that God just isn't performing. God, you haven't fixed my garage door yet. It's still broke. When are you going to get that done? You know? And you think that's kind of humorous, right? We laugh at it. But that's how flip we can be. You know? It's kind of like, God, change my husband. God, change my wife. God, change this circumstance. And we forget that sometimes, like we were talking about in morning study, sometimes the prayer has to change. Lord God, change me in the middle of my job, my career, my situation with my wife, my situation with my husband, my attitude toward my mother, my attitude toward my father. And so the comfort that God wants to bring may be at a totally different level than we can sometimes anticipate. And so as it goes on, it says, the God of all comfort, the God who comforts us in all of our troubles, that we receive, it says, for just as the sufferings of Christ have overflowed in superabundance into our lives, so also Christ in comfort overflows in superabundance. Now, I've been on both sides of that. I've been in that side where you feel absolutely emptied out, and a word like this would fall on deaf ears, where you're going, Lord, you keep telling me you're going to comfort me, but I don't feel it. I don't see it. I don't know what it's right now. All I feel is this overwhelming sense of pain, this overflow, like it says, of the sufferings of the world, the pain that the world brings upon us. Because the sufferings of Christ were for my sins and yours. The sufferings of Christ were for the wickedness of the world. The sufferings of Christ are overflowing. They're all around you. The cost of Adam and Eve's sin, the cost of my sin, is multiplied many times over. And when Christ goes to the cross, he carries all of that, all the grieving, all the suffering, all the sadness, all the times your hearts have been broken, all the times people have lied to you, all the times you've been disappointed, all the times you trusted and you found out you couldn't trust. Every one of those things, all of that comes together and says, Christ died for that. He carried those things. And then he goes on and he says this. So it says, if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we're comforted, it's for your comfort. Now, I don't know if you can catch this, but try to understand. Here's something the Apostle Paul discovered. He said, you know, I found something out. That whether I'm going to suffer, here I am in jail, suffering, being beaten, it's for your sake. I'm being beaten for your sake. And I will celebrate and I will praise God so that you understand the testimony of what God is doing in my life. This is for your sake. Remember, one of the hardest things to do when we're going through pain and suffering is to get our eyes off ourselves, right? Isn't self, you know, self-pity and all those things, they're always staring at myself. Doesn't anyone know how hard this is on me? Doesn't anyone understand? And you set your eyes so fully on yourself. Here, Paul doesn't set his eyes on himself at all. He said, if I go into suffering and I'm paying this heavy price and they're beating me and I may not ever come out of this jail, it's for your sake. He saw the bigger picture. He started to understand this greater call upon his heart and his life. And then he goes on, and if we're comforted, come on out of the jail cell, Paul. You're a free man. Go. He said, if we're comforted, if our prayer is answered, it's for your sake too. Because what's my testimony? My testimony becomes like Bethany. My testimony, here's what God has done. Here's what he's continuing to do. Here's these opportunities I've had. And she didn't share with you because I said, do you want to say something about your last mission trip? She said, well, I spent most of it being so sick, I can't really say too much about it. And yet Steve had a neat testimony related to how hard she worked for the first 2 days until she got sick. And you begin to understand her testimony is one of blessing and encouraging people, whether she is suffering or whether she comes out of the suffering and is comforted. And so the challenge that you and I have to understand, sometimes if you're going through a situation, you need someone who can sit down with you and go through it with you. If you've never lost a loved one or never had to take care of an aging parent or never had to do anything where you suddenly look around and friends that you love that are precious begin to go away. Is Mark in here right now? Mark Stenson, help me, Mark. Where is he? Ah, I'll try. Those of you in study, Mark shared this beautiful little testimony. He said, my dad's slipping quite a bit, and we were in there, and we were helping him, and this is going to sound a little bit weird, but we were helping him because he could hardly stand, had to go to the bathroom and everything. And he turned to his sister and he said, what does love look like? And here's his wife and him just holding and loving this dad and respecting him and nurturing him and encouraging. You see, in the moment, Mark made this unbelievable revelation that he spoke to my heart this morning just sitting there. He says, you want to know what love looks like? Love looks like when your wife no longer has anything to offer you, you still reach into her world and you hold on to her and you build her up. Love looks like when you understand the difficulty of these situations and you go, how could anyone, how can you do this? And Mark's mother said to him, honey, every day that's been special that God has taken care of us. But she said, these days are extra special. Each hour I get with your dad is extra special. So here's this woman married to Mark's father for 70, I don't know, 65, 60 years, whatever it's been, is giving testimony. What's she doing? She's comforting her son so that he can be comforted, so that he can pass that comfort on to someone else. Her words of comfort comforted me. Her words of comfort, I hope, minister to your heart. And you start to understand that God is working on more things than you and I can possibly understand. In that moment of humility, in that moment of brokenness, in that moment of you washing the feet, in that moment where you take everything off and you're washing the filth and the stench and the muck off someone's feet with dignity and respect, then you understand the comfort that I've comforted you with, you can pass on to somebody else. How in the world do you think that these disciples finally got to that point where Paul, this is for you guys. This is what it's all about. It's for you. You understand? This is so cool. Whether I live or die, it really doesn't make any difference, because for me to live is Christ, to God, to die is gain. I'm going to win. I'm going to win. Do you get that? You're going to win. And some people go, what? No, you're going to win. Whether you're washing off someone's filthy feet or helping someone that is so old they can't help themselves, or you're giving someone this quiet, reverent moment on the deathbed, or you're changing a baby's diapers, or you're forgiving your husband, all of them are in the heart of God. All of them are part of what God's doing in the middle of our world, in the middle of our circumstances. And so Paul began to understand, everything I'm going through is a part of my ministry to you. Everything I'm going through is a part to make me able to reach out and hold on or encourage another human being. It's kind of like the men who have been in war want to talk to men who have been in war because they have an understanding. There's something, you don't have to try and put it into words. You just kind of look. It was hell, wasn't it? One word, and everybody understands the concept. It's kind of like in college when you have that one teacher and you go, oh, you had so-and-so? Yeah. Need I say more? So did I. Right? They do that with me too in class. I didn't want to use that analogy for me. Oh, Harmon. I'm so sorry you got Harmon. So, and our hope is firm. It says, if we are comforted for your comfort. And our hope is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, you also share in the comfort. Now, that's not really what I want to focus on. Now, this is the part for Bethany. Here we go, Beth. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under pressure, okay, trapped, pushed against, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, and this is important, we felt that sentence of death. I don't want you to picture the disciples as being stronger. I want you to understand, what has God brought you through to get you to this day? Mumps, chicken pox, scarlet fever, the death of my grandpa, teaching kids for 30,000 years. Right? You know what? I still like getting up in the morning. Wasn't it nice walking in under those blossoming trees? Life is good. God is good. He has never left me nor forsaken me. It is a testimony that I have to hang on to. Now watch, because I understand this. I relate to this part of despair, but I also relate to this next part. Now watch this. But this happened. Now this is important, because you always go, why is this happening to me? Right? Why are you doing this to my family? Why is this happening to my child? Why have you let this go down this way? But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves. You got that one, Beth? I'm going to make you repeat this. We're going to be a test at the end of the sermon. Last one. I trust in myself. I trust in my pocketbook. I trust in, what are you going to, he goes, that we might not trust in ourselves or rely upon ourselves, but on God. And then his firm proclamation that raises the dead. Do you understand? You can't be kept down. You can't be defeated. To live is Christ, to die is gain. He's trying to connect that into your mind until finally it just burns in your very existence, so that whether you're in prison or out of prison, you understand you're a living testimony, a living comforter for your family, for others who know your situation, for the jailers. It's those individuals where you hear these testimonies of these brutalities of people being just brutalized by their jailers, and they return it with love and tenderness and forgiveness, and the jailers become overwhelmed because they can't understand how in the world could you possibly respond to us with gentleness or love, knowing the kind of men and people that we are. And so he goes on, he says, that we won't rely on ourselves but on God who raises people from the dead. He, watch this part, here it comes. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril. We didn't think we were going to make it. We despaired of life. We thought this was it. We were convinced there was no hope. We were at the end of our rope. We were down in the lowest parts of our life. We were grieving. We were hurt. We were beaten. Our circumstances were overwhelming. And then it goes, He has delivered us. Then it goes on, from such a deadly peril and future, He will deliver us. On Him we've set our future hope, that He will continue to deliver us. So you understand what Paul is really doing. He's going, where do you rest? Where does your hope rest? What are you really trusting in? And no matter how many times I've had to learn the lesson, I have to keep learning it over and over again. My hope has got to be in Christ. My hope is in You, Lord. Those kind of songs, that kind of testimony that you hear, I learned that not because it was easy to get my eyes off myself, but because through those points of uncontrollable suffering or difficulty or circumstances I couldn't change, here came the deliverance of God, and I go and I stood back up. I've got 150 stories, if I can remember them all, maybe 1,050 stories, of the mercy of God, of the rescues from an accident, of the preserving of my life from something. And I go, you begin to understand, if here you stand and you begin to go, He has delivered me. I am standing in front of you today because God has forgiven and worked in a miserable man's life and heart, because His grace has been extended to me, because He lifted me back up, because He pulled me out of the clay, because He put me on the rock, because of Him. And so my celebration is, God, whether you keep me in jail, it's for You guys. Whether I'm out of jail and preaching the gospel, it's for You guys. It really doesn't matter, because I've learned this lesson that I had to learn. Here's Paul. I had to learn to fully rely on Him. The old frog metaphor, right? Frog, F-O-R-F-R-O-G. I knew it. I think. F-R-O-G, fully rely on God. That's what this verse is really doing here. It's because you've come through. It's because you've sat in the same situation. It's because you've been on the battlefield. It's because you've suffered with a child in sickness. It's because precious people in your life have died. It's because of circumstances outside your control. It's because you had that miscarriage. It's because you fit it in, that you now have an entire ministry opened up because God said, I won't let go of you, child. I won't give up on you, even though this pain overwhelmed you. I have not turned my back on you. I haven't, your prayers have not fallen on deaf ears. And so this challenge, He will continue to deliver us as You help us by Your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer of the prayers of many. What's the challenge? This is meant to be in the middle of suffering. We go, oh my goodness, we're a church filled with all these suffering people. And I go, no. This is a church of healing. Why? Who needs you this week? What person can enter into your life, or you can enter their life because of what you've suffered? Because you're standing here, you're sitting here going, has God held on to you? Yes. Are you still breathing? Yes. Has God turned His back on you? No. Are you forgiven? Yes. Do you understand? He has delivered you. He has brought you through. He hasn't turned his back on you. That's part of the testimony. And so you have this mission, this ministry, to walk with people in the most difficult of times when they say, this happened to me. You go, oh, I can walk with this man. Why? Because that girl broke my heart too. Or you can walk with this man because they lost a child too. Or you can walk with this woman because they've suffered in this particular way. Or you can enter into it, and this horrible, miserable, rotten deed, event, or circumstance of your life, you begin to understand God destined it for your glory, for you to bring that into their life and to say, here's what God has done for me. Don't force yourself. Understand it will take some time. All the words that come from the experience that you've gone through, everything that God takes in the middle of the most miserable difficulty, and finally he looks at you and says, you understand life a little differently, don't you? Yes. It took me a long time to learn that lesson, didn't it? Yes. But I'll try and pass it on to you. And so God is doing this word of comfort, and his ministry is this message. Number one, he will never forsake you. He will deliver you. He will sustain you right to your very last breath. However that comes about, whatever the circumstances are, in the middle of prison, hated, rejected, starved, or whatever it is, or whether it's family and friends and other loved ones around you, I will never forsake you. And even after that moment, you will be delivered. Today you'll be with me in paradise. That next moment will be in the presence of the Lord. And Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And that's what he wants you to confess. In whatever circumstance I'm in, God is more than able. Pray with me. Lord, it's always by your mercy and your grace that we're sustained. And so over Bethany and over others who are reminded of their own confirmation promises and vows, of their own testimonies, of their own walk, a recognition that, Lord, you have continued to hold on to them. And in the middle of the doubts, in the middle of the sicknesses, in the middle of the pains, the torn ligaments, the broken legs, the sufferings that people have gone through just as young men and women, the challenges of everything from finances to love and relationships to the challenges of raising a family, all these things, Lord, you continue to deliver your people. Lord, we lift up each heart in this room today. We lift them up to you, Lord, and ask that you would deliver them from the pain or the burden that they're carrying. We pray for your healing and your work to be done in all of their lives and your blessing to be upon them, Lord. Come and use this word from Paul till every situation we are in, we will start to recognize to live as Christ, to die as gain. In your name we pray this. Amen. As the offering is received today, we